Last week, as we looked at the last judge to be called in our series of study in Family Church School, we looked at Samson, and I reminded you that in viewing the call of Samson, that we should all look in the mirror and ask ourselves a question. Calls are serious, and they are varied. Because God will do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do, with whom he wants to do it. No doubt about it. He could have used anybody to do what needed to be done, but he chose a man. Now, you got to understand that the man that he chose started from what I call austere. Had a very austere beginning, quasi, but the Lord, because he was born to a pauper, and he was born under condemnation, yet he did not die. He was put in a basket and then raised in the very home of Pharaoh. He was schooled, he was educated, he knew hieroglyphics, and he knew science, and he knew management, he had management skills, he was a great warrior. But that was 40 years ago. There are some of you that as we celebrate this 34th year at Resurrection, good to see you back, Sister Smith, you and Sister Smith, Sister Smith Square. Good to see him. As we celebrate this 34th year, there are some that have been here 34 years. And there's some been here 33 and 32, 31 and 30 and 20 and 25 and 22 and hollowing 10 and 9 and 8 and 7 and 6, and some of you just got here. But it doesn't matter. God has called you. Now I realize I got to wait another unit till we get to talking to you guys specifically, because y'all are part of the New Testament church. But I think it's real important in understanding how God works when we look at things that he has done in the past, because if we look at what he's done in the past, we get a glimpse of what's going to happen in the future. He is now calling prophets, and that's what we're going to study, the call of prophets. And Moses was a prophet. And to clear it up, somebody's going to read for me Exodus 34:10, I think. Yes, thank you, sister. Anytime.
Okay, Exodus 34:10 reads,
uh-huh.
And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not done in all the earth, nor any nation.
Read up, just to, okay, just speak up a little while. All right. All right.
And he said, can you hear me now? Okay. And he said, behold, I make a covenant. Before all thy people I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among which thou shalt see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. This is Exodus 34, verse 10.
God makes a promise that he will do a great thing for this people. And it comes at the conclusion of Exodus. Exodus, exit, their removal, their escape, their flight from oppression. For more than 400 years, this band of Israelites have been subject to slavery, bondage by the great pharaohs of the day. And they remained that way until God decided enough is enough. I'm going to do something about this. And just like we saw with the judges, every time Israel was in some kind of trouble, some sort of oppression, God raises up someone as a deliverer. Heretofore, we've called them judges. Today, we're going to look at the prophets. And Moses was a prophet of all prophets. He was considered the Jesus of his day. He was, in fact, the deliverer. There's no more sacred name than Moses. That's why Jews, even the contemporary ones, have an issue when it comes to Jesus versus Moses. But what we're going to see today is that Moses could never be equal, on par, greater than Jesus. Call, but not greater. And that's what we got to realize is that some of us are going to be called to do great things in the kingdom of God, but it doesn't make us greater than the caller. You see, it's impossible for Moses to have been greater than the caller, because we're going to see today, as we examine this anatomy of a prophet's call, we're going to see that it is Jesus that is doing the calling. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. I know you've been taught that Moses went up on the mountain and he talked to God, but there's something that happened on that mountain. Because when we look at calls, we will always see these kinds of things. When we see a call of tremendous merit, we will see these things. First of all, in the call of Moses, we saw circumstances that precipitated the call. For you boys from Mississippi, that means that there were some conditions that necessitated God coming in and rescuing his people. They were in slavery. And here is an old man. For 40 years. Yeah, I called him old. 40 years. Because he's been out in a desert. Listen, y'all read verse 1. Look at it. Y'all look at it for yourself. Because y'all looking at me like I don't know the lesson. 3:1. Now what?
Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back side of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb.
Just imagine for a moment, any of you in here, because y'all big time shot callers, you know, y'all got it going on. Imagine being at the height of your career, people under your command, at your very word, people snapped to attention and did exactly what you said. And 40 years later, you out here tending sheep on the backside of a desert. And as a matter of fact, don't get it twisted about this backside. It just meant that he was on the west side. He was west side of the desert. Tending sheep, a sheep herder, tending smelly sheep for some guy named Jethro. And when we run his family tree, we find out that he was a black Italian. Moses gonna marry this black Italian's daughter. But right now, he's called a priest of the Midianites. And he's out there tending their sheep. This prince of Pharaoh, this prince of Egypt. But no matter what you've been in life and what you currently are, God has a use for you. Don't ever think you're too old, you're too young, you're not socially connected, you're not economically secure. I'm going to reside to tending sheep out here, because God surely can't use me no more. I know I'm right, because when y'all look at this anatomy of a call, you're going to see that Moses is known. See, they like to teach about his excuses when we do chapter 3, but we're just going to talk about his call. Because first of all, it's an unusual one, because what Moses is doing, and then how God, do you realize how creative our God is, Harry?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to get a bush to talk to a brother about doing some work. Listen, in verse 2, we see a divine appearance. When God has something extraordinary that he wants done, he'll show up every time. Read verse 2 and you'll see something. An angel of the Lord appeared in the flame out, and he
looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed.
This is some kind of holy hookup here. This is a divine meeting. This is a divine appearance. Because it says, Moses tending sheep in a mountain of fire, on a mountain, suddenly the mountain is ablaze because there's a bush that won't go out. A bush that's burning. Now, let me tell you one thing. If any of us, imagine you're caught. You sleeping in your bed, just sleeping. And all of a sudden, you woke up and your bed was on fire. But you were not being burned, nor was the bed burning up. You would say, there's something miraculous going on here. I know some of you say something else, but you know. Imagine the astonishment, though. Because just when we think that I'm just settled in, I'm just going to tend these sheep, and nothing's, my life is very ordinary now. Once was somebody, but now I'm just tending sheep. God shows up, and he shows up in the form of a bush. And if we keep on reading, we'll find out who this bush is. Notice I didn't say what this bush is. I said who this bush is. Because we know this is a theophany. This is an appearance of Christ, you know, in some manifested in some form. Some folk like to say it's a theophany, and some would say it's a Christophany. But either way, you're going to see that whenever they're talking about the angel of the Lord, they're normally talking about Jesus Christos. So Jesus shows up in the form of a bush. And out of the midst of the bush, it starts talking. Imagine now, just put yourself in that position. Are you scared? I got two honest people on the front row up here. Y'all would be sure enough scared. Think about that now. Think about that. Because Moses speaks. He saw something and he spoke. There's a divine appearance of God himself physically manifested. And Moses says, I will what? Can somebody please tell me what turn aside means? Some of you English majors or grammarians, tell me what turn aside means. Somebody? That's the problem I had in studying this. Because I'm going to tell you, I got in big trouble with this verse. And by the time I got to verse 4, half my week was gone. And I realized, you better get to moving. And I had no help, because Sister Snee would not help me this week. She said, oh, you're on your own this one. Better talk to the Lord about this one. What does turn aside means? Because it says in the previous verse, he saw the burning bush. And do you know what it takes to see something? Me and Brother Kendall, we struggle at that right now, but you know, you have to look at something in order to see it. So it's a couple of things going on here. And I was fascinated by this. I don't know why. See, I mean, we've taught this thing in Sunday school for 100 years. You know, why did this get me this week? Because I saw something. I was illuminated. And I'm going to share it with you today. Moses turned aside. One or two things. Turn aside means to either go away, or it could mean go to it. Boy, y'all don't hear me. And y'all believe it's go to it. But when Moses sees this burning bush, do you think he has any idea what it is? Thank you, my brother. Moses is getting ready to run. And it's not because he's no wimp, but he may feel, hey, you know, this is, this is supernatural here. This may be things of God. And we know that a man of that day would not approach God. Y'all better think about this. But it said, he turned aside. And if you read all the versions, contemporary, they'll say, he turned aside to take another look. But also that word could mean investigate. He moved in a direction to investigate it. He stepped back. He maybe even stepped to the side, but I think he stepped back. And then he maybe inched a little further because he's trying to see what this is. But a very interesting thing that got me. Moses said it. God didn't say Moses turned aside. Moses said it. But when the Lord, somebody said the Lord, saw that he what? Turned aside to see. Wait a minute. He turned aside to see. So that makes it, that's why all the commentators, everybody said he had to be kind of approaching this thing. So maybe when he saw the burning bush, I don't want to look at that. But then something draws him, Rob, and he said, I better take a look at that. And when God saw that he was trying to see, God sees something. But this is a very tricky verse, I guarantee you. Because God sees that he's investigating. God calls unto him out of the midst of the bush. And God said, Moses, read on. I started to bother Sister Kendall because therein lies my problem in verse 4. If he turns and he hears now the voice of God, you know it's God, immediately he's going to stop. And you know he's going to do something else because no man has ever looked upon God. He's going to drop that glance. Y'all be with me. Y'all go with me as I look at this thing. Because it's very important. You're going to say, Brother Sneed, that's such a minor detail. What matters it? It'll matter later. Because Moses is given credit for something, and he's given credit for all the folk who've ever commented on the Bible for something that I don't believe he did. That's me now. So now we on, I'll take it, these are my opinions, not endorsed by the Resurrection Baptist Church, nor most theologians, because the Lord showed me this one. I don't think Moses said a word. Not one word. You're in the presence of God. every Jew had been taught. No man has ever seen God. No man would dare listen to God. But one of the things is Moses is trying to investigate something because he's heard this voice and he's trying to realize, what is it? Why would he say, here am I? Ah, because you said, oh, Brother Sneed, that's just a common salutation. You know, someone calls your name, you say, here I am. I submit to you, I really believe that Moses wasn't even talking. That whole sentence, that whole verse is God talking. God is saying, Moses, Moses, here am I. Herein am I. Y'all go with me. God is telling Moses, see, because it was the word. It was the word. Y'all know I'm a shade tree mechanic, you know, wordsmith, you know. I looked at the word, and the word is not the same word that is used. Next week we'll use that word. Hineni. Hineni. And it means I am here, available, and ready. I guarantee you Moses didn't say that. That's what it means, the normal form. To say I'm simply here, he would have said poena. Like children in school, you know, when they say facing, you say poena, present. God knows where Moses is. Moses doesn't know where God is. And God is directing him to him. Moses, here am I. I'm in the bush. I'm the voice that you heard. Verse 5. And he said, y'all listen, how is it that Moses would have interrupted anything? He wouldn't have known. Moses is the transcriber of this scripture. Verse 5 does not connect to verse 4. If Moses just said, here am I. Because God starts speaking. And you will see that Moses does not speak again until God is through talking. Hey. This is why they call this advanced Sunday school. Coming in here for a finger sandwich, you can forget that. This is steak and potatoes. And he said, who is the he? Because see, that's what I did all after midweek with my wife. I asked, who's talking? Whenever scripture is being quoted, being read, you ought to say, who's talking? Because it's real important who's talking. Brother Sneed, please get to it. You got to show me. I'll show you. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put what?
All thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground.
That is truly God. And God is saying, Moses, take off your shoes. You haven't said nothing. You now know where I'm at. Know who I am. And who I am is that I'm holy. And everything about my presence is holy. And that holy is just simply separating. You got to separate your work from your worship. Because he then later on tells him on this very ground, you'll worship in the mountain. God is dealing with Moses. But there's another reason. Those sandals, they got to come off. But before I tell you about the sandals, let's talk about the bush again. God is getting ready to make a call. He's making a call to an 80-year-old man who thinks that he's washed up. But he's witnessing, Harry, a bush that won't go out. God is telling each and every one of us, don't ever think you're too old to do something. what you need to do, because if you've got the fire of God, if I'm in your bush, you'll burn on and not be consumed. Y'all don't hear me? I want to do for you, Moses, what you are witnessing here now. I want to maintain a fire in you that won't burn out. Take off your shoes. And Moses takes off his shoes. He's compliant. Because he says, I don't want anything between the fire and you. I want you to feel the warmth. Because I'm in it. I want you to always feel my presence. I'm in it. I'm the fire. You're not the fire. I'm the progenitor of the fire. I'm the igniter of the fire in you. And Moses complied. Okay, Brother Sneed, I ain't got it yet. Just hold on with me, though. Because then, verse 6 says what?
Moreover, he said,
who is speaking?
God.
Just want to make clear that God is speaking. Because it says, moreover. And that was another one. I told you, that fifth grade grammar that Sister Scott taught me, you know, back there, that made me, when I start seeing all that moreover, I realized, you know, this is a dialogue. Ain't nobody said nothing here but God. Moreover, God said, I am the God of what?
Thy father.
And the God of?
Abraham.
The God of?
Isaac.
And the God of?
Jacob.
And Moses? I'm not Isaac Hayes, but I stand accused of just flat knowing this stuff. He's afraid. He's hid. When it's now confirmed, the bush that's talking to me is God. I can't look. Because no man has ever looked on God and lived. I can't look. That's God talking. But Lord, you have my full attention now. I know it's you. So speak on. The Lord said,
I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows.
God says, I've shared with you who I am. But now I want to share with you what I know. Whenever God calls us for something great, he will always confirm that it is him that is doing the calling. And he will tell you about the situation, about the circumstances. You think your God don't know. You think that God can't deal with your issues. God knows everything about you. He knows. He's heard your cry. He's observed you wet your pillow night after night with the tears of despair. He's heard all of that. He's heard your cry. Just as he heard the cry of the children of Israel for all those years. Can you imagine the kinds of things that have happened to them? Oh, all kinds of misery. But God says, I knew all about it. How responsive is your call when you know that God is aware of a situation but doesn't seem to be doing anything about it? I say it's the same when you don't know that. Because God works in his own timetable. His timetable is not our timetable. And if he tells you he knows the situation, he knows the situation. He further goes on to tell you what he knows. He says, I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. There's some people that are beating you up. God knows all about them. He knows why you're sad. He knows why you don't have any joy. God says, I know all of that. And in verse 8, he said, but I'm the God who can do something about it. Y'all better help me. Because I'm coming. Because some of you still stuck on verse 4, but don't worry about it. I'll help you out. I'll help you out. Verse 8 says, and I am what? And unto a place, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. There's a lot of ice there. But what God is saying, yeah, Pastor Brown says, and even the Shalites. Yeah, but I'm going to show you something. God reveals his purpose for the call. God will never ask you to do anything without telling you why he's doing it. Oh, trust me, folks. That's why you can't let any and everybody speak to you, sis. They can't speak into your life about your call. Don't let anybody tell you, Jim, about, you know, the Lord told me that such and such, such. Well, if the Lord told me, he should be telling you. God makes a specific call, and he says, this is my purpose of it. I've heard you cry, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to deliver you from all your sorrows. But not only am I going to deliver you, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take you to a land of milk and honey. I'm going to take you to a land that you never thought you could occupy. Isn't that amazing? How many folk are missing out on their blessing because you won't adhere to the call? How many folk don't know the word of God that pastor's going to preach about today, that he taught about even Wednesday night, by saying how important it is for you to know the word of God? How many folk are going to miss out because you won't accept the call? And God says, everything that you see that the world's got out there, I'll give it to you. God ain't trying to keep nothing from you. God wants to know, my people who are called by my name. And you realize something real interesting here? This is a verse, these are scriptures of first. First time we see the word holy, and the first time we see my people. This God is awesome. He does exactly what he wants to do. And he'll tell you his plans. He'll tell you, I'm going to deliver them. But guess what? You're not just going to get them out. I'm going to bless you. Don't just get me out. Don't just take the chains off. You know, let me enjoy some blessings. But many times, and as we'll see, we know the story. God got them out of Egypt. But he also had to get Egypt out of them. Because you've been a slave so long to sin, even when you get delivered from it, you fall yourself right back into it. Why do you think the nightclubs are full and people still getting shot in the nightclub? I thought nightclubs were closed. I'm just naive, Jim, you know. They build all these beautiful homes to go get crowded up in a place. Oh, I guess we did that too. Listen to read verse 9.
Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians
oppress. So in other words, I know what you're going through. It's come to me. It's come to my attention. I see it. Don't ever think because nothing is seemingly being done by you. See, the reason why things aren't getting done is because you're not doing them. But I'm here today to prompt you to do something, to have people blessed. He says, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, folk, I submit to you that from verse 2 to verse 10, Moses, my contention is that Moses has not said a word. And except for the And he said, here am I. Y'all think that too. But let's look at the here am I. Hineni. Here am I. Fully equipped, ready and willing. You can't be ready and willing to do something if you don't know what you're ready and willing to do. Y'all better help me. That's what got me. How you talking? How you gonna say you ready? He 80-year-old man, and I know he'll help me out a little later. He'll help me explain this a little later. Because when God tells him this, I want you to listen to Moses. Because here's what the scripture says. The scripture says, and Moses said. And Moses said. Now, there's something about that construction. You got to realize how the Bible is really written. There were no verses, just sentences and paragraphs. But when I saw that, I knew I was on to something. I realized why I was bugged in verse 3 and 4. Because it is God that's talking. I really do believe that. We ain't got to fall out about it. But in this next few minutes, if you'll just see what I have to say about this. Verse 10 tells them, says, now come therefore, I'll send you to Pharaoh. And Moses said, come now therefore, and I'll send you to Pharaoh. And Moses said, are you kidding? Wait a minute, y'all didn't see that? That ain't in y'all Bible? Oh, let me back up. I'm sorry. Let's go and read. See, I must be reading from the MOS, Man on the Street version, you know, because it says right there, who am I? Who am I? You can't go from here am I to who am I? You can't do that. You ready? I'm available. I'm hineni. I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. I'll go wherever you want me to go. Who am I to be doing this? Why you pick me for this? It shows a confidence that's not there. Because he finds out what it is he has to do. That's when he speaks up. He says, God, pull up. Who am I? And that's what... And Moses was no different than you and I. God has been asking you for year in and year out here at the Resurrection Baptist Church and other local assemblies. You've gone from one assembly to the other assembly. And God has asked you to do something. And here's what you say. Who am I? Because the greatest enemy of any ministry is self. Doubt, lack of confidence. And what brings that on, Linda? Because that's when I got into the meat of it. Moses asked, who am I? Because Moses said, I done failed one time. I done messed up once. I don't want to do it again. That makes you afraid. But if you ain't making mistakes, you ain't doing nothing. Moses lacks this confidence because he knows the pain of failure is so fresh in his mind now. It reminds me of a story, of a man who went to the doctor, and the doctor examined him. He went there about a memory problem. Did I say memory problem? Yeah, memory problem. Yeah, you know, went there about a memory problem, and the doc says, we've run the examination, we looked at you, and here's the issue. We can perform surgery on you to correct the problem. However, if we correct the problem for memory, it's going to affect your eyesight. You go blind. The man says, don't do nothing to mess up with my eyesight. And the doc says, why would you choose eyesight over memory? To which he replied, I want to see where I'm going, but I don't care if I remember the painful past. The painful past. People are so hurt by past failures, they just want to forget about it. Don't remind me of a ministry that I launched and it was a failure. It's too painful. But that should not keep us from doing what thus says the Lord. There are still needs. People are still hurting. People still need to be encouraged. People still need to be taught. People still need to be cared for. People still need to be visited in the hospital. People still need to be ushered in part and ushered into the presence of the Lord. They still need to do that. But we say, who am I? The people that are ready and available don't say that. And if you don't believe me, come back next week. Because we're going to have another brother that really says, he may not. He may need, brother. I'm here. But Moses says, who am I? Why are you going to send me down there? That I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel, of Eden? And he said, certainly. Who's talking? Moses shut up. He's waiting for an answer. And here's what God said. I got your back. I'm certainly with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. Ye shall serve God upon this mountain. The very place that I've now called holy, you're going to worship there with the people that you bring out. That the very people that you ask the question, who am I? They're going to say Moses is the man. But you're going to be that token. You're going to be that representative. When the delivered people, the work that we will do, that will be a testament. Every time you get up and you make a decision in ministry that helps the people of God, that's a token. That's a token that you are living out the calls that God has bestowed upon us. God called Moses and he calls us. There are some unusual circumstances sometimes. God calls some of you to this Baptist church over here in the church. I can empathize with that. Because when he told me that this is where you're going to be, I truly said, who am I? You can't be talking about me. You cannot be talking about me doing this. But you know what? God says, every time you graduate somebody from evangelism and they come back and now they are taking the gospel to the world, they are sharing and encouraging and ministering to folk and serving as intake counselors, that's a token. That's a token not to your glory, not to your ability, but what God can do with who am I's. Look here, God ain't looking for no here am I's. He's looking for who am I. God, can I do this? He says, no, you can't do it. Because if you could do it, I'd let you do it. You wouldn't need me if you could do it. This is why Moses is great. Moses asked the right questions at the right time. He didn't step up. He didn't know who he was talking to. When he realized it's God, he totally shut up. He not only shut up, he looked away. Very important. Because it's our whole approach. We got to beware of those folk who always, he named me. Here am I. Send me. Here am I. I'm available. I'll take a stand. I'll be with you, God, no matter what. Listen to the call. Know what it is that God wants you to do. See, because a lot of times, Deacon Newsom, people will raise their hand and says, I'll do it. And then when pastor explains what needs to be done, who am I? Hey, I ain't signed up for that. You got to listen to the call. You got to hear God. You got to make sure that it's God's voice. You got to affirm that it is God that is talking to me. And don't let these Monday morning quarterbacks tell you what God has asked you to do. It's got to be clear. God makes a call and tell me something. Did anybody know what Moses was supposed to do after God got through talking? Does anybody know? Exactly. It was very clear. You're going to go down to Egypt. You're going to go down to Pharaoh. And you're going to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses said, you must be tripping. First of all, I don't have the confidence. Then he went on about, if you read chapter 3 through 4, you'll see about five different excuses. I can't talk. Whoever God calls, he equips. And that's the other thing for your call. You may not possess any of the skills, the talents, or the gifts that other folk think you should have in order to be in a position. But God says, if God says you're going to be there, you're going to be there. Oh, I'm telling you. All you got to do is look at the leadership of this church. You start at the top. And you can argue all day long about who should be there, who shouldn't be there. But God called these men and women to be there in the time of his people. And when he gets ready for them to move on, he'll move them on. But you can cry and holler till the cows come home. God ain't changing his mind for you. Because you don't know what you want. You know how I know? I'll get you now. Verse 4, let's go back. And he said, Moses said, here am I, send me. If Moses said that, he don't know what he wants. Y'all better help me. I told y'all I was being messy this week. Oh, that got me. Because I realized we're running out here to a call that we don't even know what it is. And God never tells us to do anything that we can't do. He will never call us to do what we can't do with his help. He will call us to do a lot of things that are impossible of our own self-strength. You ain't smart enough, ain't got enough money. You ain't wise enough. You are not crafty enough. You're not even slick enough to run cons and do this if that was a ministry. If they had a con ministry, you ain't slick enough for that. You need God to even help you do that. But first of all, you got to know what it is you're to do. And then, when you know what it is to do, realize how monumental this task. Here's what Moses was saying when he said, who am I? He said, Lord, how can I do this? Now, if you think that one scripture just really sent me over the cliff, I started looking at all the here am I's. And yes, it was a general salutation. You go to Samuel, and the Lord said, and Samuel said, here am I. And then he went to his daddy. Yeah, Eli. Went to Eli and said, look, you call me? I ain't called you. Go lay down. Because when God calls, he'll confirm it. And for you to say, so the last time, on number 3, this is what he said, Clark. This is what he said, Kim. Here's what he said. He said, go lay down, and instead of saying, here am I, say, speak to me, Lord, I'm listening. See y'all next week.